Brad O'Dell here, and welcome to the Maritime Paintball Podcast. 2020 has been a tough year for a lot of paintball fields. We heard a lot of news about fields closing, and this is why I was so excited to hear about a new field opening in Newfoundland. My guests today are the owners of Rapa Newfoundland, an upcoming action sport facility that will host paintball, airsoft, and more. In our conversation, we talk about why they decided to open it, about the amazing building it's going in, and about why people should visit this field and not just for the amazing paintball. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 274 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. My name is Brad O'Dell, and I am very excited to have other Maritimers, well, technically Newfoundlanders, because they're not really Maritimers. Fun fact, they're Newfoundlanders, not Maritimers. If you want to start a fist fight, it's a great way to do it. So these fine folks, Paul and Rhonda, are from Rapa Newfoundland Paintball. I think it's just Rapa NL. What is the name of the field? I tried to decipher it.
It's really just Rapa is the actual.
Rapa, perfect. Rapa.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for there to be a second field in Newfoundland. I don't live there, but I might actually, who knows? My wife actually got accepted in the Air Force, so we may end up in like Gander. So still a bit of a drive.
Yeah.
So this is sorry, I'm a little out of it. I forgot I had a podcast today. I completely forgot. I was middle of a video game and got an email and I was like, oh no, I need to go on the air. So I sent you guys a list of questions, but those of you watching, if you have any questions, I'd love for you to post them up as well. I know I got one question from Christopher Struck, which I'm going to ask right away. And Tyler Kerfoot wants to know as well, are you going to be offering speedball at the
yes.
at this field? Yeah?
Yes.
Perfect. So before we get into all the questions and into the nitty gritty, Tyler's already, he's slamming into this full speed here, but let's talk about where the field is going to be. Let's talk about the facility and then we'll go from there. So but first, introduce yourselves. Who are you?
Well, I'm Rhonda.
I'm Paul. I have a military background, so I heard your wife, you said
she just got the letter she goes to basic. She's sworn in on the 4th and she goes to basic the 29th, I think.
Well, good for her. That's excellent.
She's very excited. She's terrified, but excited.
Yeah.
So
not from a military background. I have a theater background.
So you've got a military background. Why a paintball field? Why did you decide? Well, it's not just paintball. It's paintball, airsoft, Nerf.
Laser tag we're going to do. And spitball we're going to do. We'll get into that in a little while.
Okay. We'll
leave that pondering.
All right. I want to actually, anybody watching, I want to know in the comments what you guys think the spitball thing is, but I want the wrong answers only. I want to see what the funniest ones you guys can come up with. Huh. Tyler says he's antsy about it. He's just excited. He's pumped. He's super excited. So
that's probably the medication.
So what drew you folks to open a action sports facility, I guess is what we'll call it.
You want to answer that?
No, I'll let Rhonda speak on that.
That part should be your one. You.
I just want to see. Well, I want to see if she screws up.
You didn't let me see the questions beforehand either, so he forgot to give me the questions. So I'm really live here. We just moved up here on the Northern Peninsula in September. I am originally from Newfoundland. I'm from Clarenville, Newfoundland. If anybody's familiar with Newfoundland out there listening, probably not. But it's a town sort of in the east coast of the province. So in September, I took a position up here on the Northern Peninsula, which is right up on the northern tip of the island.
She works for the government.
Yeah, I work for the government. So I took a position up here and Paul tagged along with me as my significant other. He just moved to Newfoundland last January. So he came from Ontario, but he's originally from England. Hold on. I tend to ramble.
No. He moved to Newfoundland in January.
Last January.
That's the worst month of the year to move to Newfoundland.
You know what? Okay, here.
That's why she wanted me here, so she had a snow shoveler.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's unfortunately true. No, seriously, we moved to Newfoundland on 1st of January. Then we had a snowmageddon down here, like a major snowmageddon. Mm-hmm. We were snowed in for a week.
Yeah.
Then I fell down and fractured my shoulder. I was off work for 6 weeks and he had to be my caregiver. And then COVID hit us. So we were pretty much self-isolating from, we had just moved in together and we were like, what, like 8 months in self-isolation.
Yeah.
So we, good way to find out if you're compatible with somebody or not.
Yeah.
But he couldn't kick him out anyway because he couldn't leave.
Like a lifetime.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
This has nothing to do with paintball. So you have, I didn't even get
No, that's
your
fine.
Name.
That's fine. So just,
what is your name? So you guys
know, like my name. What?
Yeah.
My
what was your
Brad.
Name?
Brad.
Brad. See, you didn't even tell me his name. I'm saying you're going to have to keep us on track because that's I will go off on a tangent. If you want this to be about paintball, you better rein me in.
That's so fine. The tangents are part of the show.
Sorry. So what basically happened is I have a publishing business that I've had for a long time now, based out of Ontario. COVID shut that down because I rely on university and college students living on campus for distribution of that magazine. And it's still shut down with no end in sight. So I thought, the heck with it. So we talked about it and said, I've always been a big paintball fan, played it around the world, actually.
Really?
Yep, not in the team, just for fun. You know, if I went to Thailand, there's a paintball there, I'll go check them out. So I've always been a fan of it. And so we started looking at it and we asked a lot of people, you know, their opinion. And we were shocked to find out, you know, we're in the middle of, but nowhere. And
can you say that?
You can swear all you want,
right.
Let or lose.
So, you know, I didn't expect there'd be so many people up here. Not only are they into paintball, but they got their own markers, all their own kit and everything. And so we
Travel all the way to St. John's to play, which is about a 12-hour drive from where we're located, just so you know.
there is a gentleman, I don't know where he lives, a gentleman by the name of Bill Foote. He runs a team called the Trolls.
Yes,
they're in Newfoundland.
I've contacted Bill.
Excellent. Perfect. Bill's great. He's great. He's good people. He's good people. But yes, it is a little scary how far paintballers will travel to scratch that itch.
Initially we were thinking we'd be really happy if we could just provide some form of recreation just to people right here up on the Northern Peninsula, what we call up through the streets is what you call coming up through the Northern Peninsula. So we were probably looking at maybe a 2 to 3 hour away radius, for a drive. But since the words got out that we're doing this, I mean, we've been contacted by people from all over the world have been contacting us, that I've heard about this. And we've been in contact with the other paintball with Frontline in St. John's, right? We're trying to, connect with other.
That's a good call.
Yeah, definitely.
We want to work together. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's a... Oh, hey, look at that. I'm getting emails. Sorry, I'm distracted. Anyways, I was going
to
say
there's
two fields. This show goes on tangents left, right, and center. I'll give you the biggest example, and it's kind of like a Hall of Fame episode, is that, and I hope this doesn't put you off too much, but we managed to somehow go from paintball to pornography.
We did
for about 15 minutes. We talked to me and three other guests. We just talked about pornography, and then we somehow brought it back to paintball, all like fluidly. It was great. So, I was going to say, there's two fields. There's one in Ottawa called Commando Paintball, and then there's one in Quebec called Mirabelle, and they work together. They're quite a distance apart, but they are almost like sister fields. Not really. They're two separate owners, but cousin fields. We'll call them cousin fields. That do a really great job with working together, and I'm sure you'll be able to do something with
that's excellent.
Frontline.
So
I'm just there's a reason to travel to the Northern Peninsula now. Besides icebergs, polar bears, whale watching, if you're lucky.
There's lots to do. And we're right en route to Lancer Meadows, which is a very popular tourist attraction, even just among just in Newfoundland, you know, my local Newfoundlanders, I guess, you know, travel up here, not to mention just people outside the province, right? So we're in a perfect location. We're right on the tourist route.
Yeah.
Right. So we're hoping that's going to definitely work in our favor as well. And then we're going to tap in. We're going to really tap into the whole Viking theme. Right. I mean, I don't know as much, obviously, or actually I know very little about creation of obstacle courses and scenarios and all that stuff for paintball. That's Paul's area. I'm going to be the creative person that helps create the really cool videos to go with it and special effects and all that. So I can do that for video. But what was I saying? Oh yeah, we're gonna tap into we want to have like Viking scenarios and fantasy scenarios and
definitely
pirate ghost fisherman scenarios, because so there'll be lots of things like that. We're trying to create obstacle course like that. Hey, you need one of fishing nets and you know stuff.
Actually, I'd like to mention the ghost thing a little bit, because this is going to be quite different. It won't actually be paintball. This is going to be more or less by invitation. If we got a team or team members coming up and they're going to indoor camp in the building,
which we will have
unofficially, but we'll have camp beds down or something, you know, they can stop over. So it's a big building, 25,000 square feet on the main level and another 25,000 in the basement. And the basement is creepy as hell. There's a lot of rooms. There is a ghost story. Supposedly the first female teacher that worked in this school walks the halls. But anyhow, we've come up with a haunting. And what it'll be, it'll start when the field closes, say 10 o'clock at night. It's got to be dark outside. All lights off. It'll be the entire building, which is why it won't be paintball. It'll be laser, because we don't want to mess upstairs. Basically, 2 hours. Couple of hours with a little break in between. Everyone will be given the flashlight. It's up to them how they use it, when they use it, and just basically
use a flashlight.
Go look for evidence of a haunting. But it'll be creepy as hell, because I will have a soundtrack going on.
Nice. I'm digging that. That's a cool idea. I love it.
Yeah. So something a little different.
I also really like the idea with the Vikings. I want to see.
And the Viking,
I've been very busy coming up with soundtracks for creepy things and military sounds and Viking battles and all this kind of stuff.
Right? Yeah. There's as soon as you said Viking, I'm immediately thinking of oh my goodness, I'm forgetting his name. Is a gentleman in Germany that he's got like the tactical like kilt that he wears, and he's got a beard like mine, but he'll put on like the black and blue face paint, but it's under his mask.
Yeah.
And like when he comes in, when he takes off his mask, he's got like the black across his eyes, and it's just like, the guy looks really badass. I'm assuming he's good on the field as well. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's probably all up front.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's what do they call them? Parking lot commandos.
Right.
But that sounds great. There's 20. That's huge. Is there plans to make part of that like clubhouse, like that facility, like a clubhouse? Is there any membership plans for it, or is it just going to be walk-ons and bookings?
We haven't looked at that yet.
However, there's lots of room upstairs. Upstairs is where we'll have an admin area, a lounge and stuff like that. But certainly we do want to create a team and sponsor a team up here.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we get that rolling, then we'll come up with a little space for them.
I think he means like you become a member of RAPA, right, or something. What do you mean?
Yeah, so certain fields, like the fields here in New Brunswick, have members.
Yes.
Where you pay, it's a couple of $100 a year, but then you get a big discount on paint access to a clubhouse or special events like that. And I think you guys, it sounds like your facility would be amazing to have like a clubhouse in it.
Yeah, well, because we have so much space, as Paul said, we've got 25,000 square feet, and paintball, the paintball component of it is going to be all just in the basement. Like, we got 25,000 square feet of open, cool space with concrete pillars. It's very Dungeons and Dragons looking down there, so we can do a lot with that. So paintball is going to be just the basement. We still got the whole upstairs, 25,000 square feet of classroom, because it's a school, right? So it's all hallways and classrooms and there's all kinds of stuff we can do with that, right?
Love it.
But we're going to designate one area, but probably just
or we'll either turn it into officially a hostel, like a cheap accommodations hostel, or like Paul said, we might at least initially open up just a couple of classrooms for people who want to come in and throw down a, what do you call it?
Mattress or something, and you know, shoot the shit. And
okay, we don't know this yet because we haven't actually officially seen it. When we did a walkthrough of the building, there's a loft in the building, like an attic area that we didn't even get to look at yet. And apparently it's a big attic up there. Like you can stand up there, right? Yeah. It's not one of those,
it's
like
10,000 square feet, yeah, of usable space is what we were
saying. So you know what we were thinking? It'd be really cool. How cool would like a loft pub be? So people come in there playing paintball, they can go upstairs to the loft pub, yeah, called like Odin's Pub or Valhalla.
Probably
pub,
private, you know. Like just
you have to call it Valhalla.
Valhalla, right? Yeah.
Done.
So a pub on premises would be cool too.
Yeah. And pub. Absolutely. I actually work for a cider company. So we'll do a pub. Like, yes. I will figure out how expensive it is to ship kegs from New Brunswick to Newfoundland.
You'll have to drive them out and do some paintball while you're at it.
It's honestly, it's probably cheaper.
Than the
freight cost of trying to get 60-liter kegs onto that ferry. So that sounds amazing. The whole concept from top to bottom sounds just, there's nothing like it in Canada. As far as I know,
really?
There's nothing like that in Canada.
Well, us Newfoundlanders are unique by, you know.
I told her that.
Yeah. You gotta, right? You're putting everyone else to shame. Like there's a couple of indoor fields and there's a couple of really nice outdoor fields that have clubs and memberships and stuff like that. But what you guys are planning on making sounds beyond all of that. I don't really have the words for it.
We want to go beyond paintball. You know, if we're trying to attract team members or, you know, serious players from afar to come up and spend a couple of days up there, you know, I don't think they want to 24/7 play paintball, you know, so we've got all these other things going on.
Well, that's what's really great about that part of Canada, really, just Newfoundland. Everyone should visit Newfoundland at least once.
Oh, absolutely.
And it being indoor means that when you get your typical 110 kilometer hour winds, you can still go and play paintball.
Hopefully still with the roof on.
Well, you know.
What do you think about the idea of golf simulator? Because we're thinking we're going to put one of, designate a room in there to put one of those.
You know what?
Golf simulator.
I think that'd be cool. I think, because coming from like a paintballer's side kind of things, I wouldn't mind playing paintball for like 5 hours and then having a drink. Mm-hmm. And then swinging the golf club at a simulator. Like that just sounds great.
And then go have the crap scared out of you with a ghost.
Exactly. Thompson. Exactly.
Sounds good to me.
And then go pass out in a classroom somewhere. Like it sent like
right. Paintball and golf can go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right? It can't like it just it's something to break up or to end the day, or you know what I mean? It's just something different, especially where like all the gear's packed. And maybe I'm not ready to go home yet, so I'm just going to go swing a driver at a sheet. And it sounds like an absolute blast.
Well, and Paul and I are planning to live on premises. We're going to convert one section of the building into an apartment for ourselves. So we're going to be on-site security and also on-site party house after
game play. There's the game room.
Party. Yeah, that sounds great. There's... You're building, honestly, it sounds like you're preparing to build what a lot of paintballers talk about. Man, I really wish this existed, or I wish this field had this or this.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you guys are already on it. Now, you mentioned we were chatting before the show while I was panicking and getting everything ready that you have a fleet, like a rental fleet already on its way of markers. Mm-hmm. So what were the markers again?
Yeah, well, we hit lucky by accident. A Canadian Tire ad popped up and it had this special on 98s, the 98 Customs and complete kit, you know, with the CO2, even though we're not going to use CO2, we're going HPA. But the mask, the hopper, and the custom 98s for $149. So I was jumping on it, and it turned out that everywhere was out of stock. And the only store in Canada with any in happened to be in New Brunswick. Can't even remember the name of that place now, Lucine Sheila or something like that. And so I couldn't grab them quick enough. So we got a great deal.
I have to try and find out where you got those from. Because I feel like I should know.
Lasadi Sheila.
You're probably saying it wrong.
Yeah, should be Lasadi.
You can't even pronounce English words properly, so.
I'm gonna shoot
I'll have to find now, because now it's gonna. I have to find out before the end of the night. Now I'm not gonna be able to sleep until I figure out what the name of that place is, or somebody in the comments will tell us. So far, there's plenty of people that are already talking about how do I get to Newfoundland? When can I go? When do you open? Road trips are being planned. It's already happening.
Excellent.
So do you want to know what RAPA stands for? It is an acronym.
Yeah, let's find out what it means. What does it mean? What's it stand for?
What does it say? Let's say it together.
Yeah, okay.
Rhonda and Paul's Peninsula Adventures.
Love it. That's great. What? Alexander Cameron's asking, where exactly in Newfoundland is the field? He came in late and he missed the location. So if you want to give him a
so is he is he familiar with the layout of Newfoundland at all? Because if he's not.
Probably not. So, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, Newfoundland. Okay. So if you fly into Newfoundland, you usually fly into St. John's, which is the very east coast of the island, right? Yeah. If you drive, like coming down through New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, yada yada, and come across on the ferry, then you're going to be in Port-au-Basque, which is the opposite end of the island, right over on the west coast. So we are what's known as the Western Northern Peninsula. So if you land in St. John's, if you fly, you're looking at about a 12-hour drive from St. John's up to where we're at. It's right up on the tip of the Northern Peninsula, right up on the tip. If you're coming from Port-au-Basque, then you're going to drive, well, then you're looking at
about
8.5-hour drive from when you get off the ferry in Port-au-Basque.
Beautiful drive, though. Very, very scenic.
Oh, but the, coming up the Northern Peninsula, once you come up onto the up hit the intersection to come up the Northern Peninsula, it is beautiful. There's stunning. All this gorgeous, like you're driving right along the coast and the waves are constantly coming in.
Yeah.
Beautiful waves breaking on the shore, on the rocks, no matter, always, no matter what.
Oh, there's always waves.
Very unlikely to come across any cops.
Well, you know.
No, I got caught.
You did.
I did. There's probably a cop there once a month and I found him.
So you can find moose. If you're coming in the winter, you will not get up over the Northern Peninsula without being stopped at least once so a herd of caribou can cross the road. They're in no hurry. They just take their time and...
They take their time and there's what? Usually 100 or more in the herd when they're, large when they're passing through.
Not that many, not 100, not here.
No,
I thought there was more. You won't see 100, Sam. You might see like 20 of them, but they just come up on the road and lick the salt and they just stay there and they won't leave unless you honk your horn and be like, move.
My wife's in the chat. She's like, it sounds scenic.
Francis, Scenic is a great word to describe it. It's a beautiful drive coming up north. We've driven it now how many times, and every time it takes my breath away. It's beautiful drive up here.
She's seen it because we drove from New Brunswick to West St. Modest. Like,
oh yeah, right. So you would have come up as far as, well, you'd have to go, yeah, you would have come up as far as St. Barb, and then you would have turned St. Barb. So if you kept on coming, there's even more. Seriously, it's actually even more scenic from St. Barb up.
Yeah,
more of the coastline in that area.
Yeah,
we're about an hour and 20 minutes further from St. Barb.
Okay, yeah. So it's a beautiful drive. It can be an intense drive if you're not. You can get caught in some weird weather, so be prepared, folks.
It can get windy.
Your biggest thing is going to be if you stop along the way, like to get gas or to go in a convenience store, you're going to be held up for half an hour talking to the local Newfoundlanders that want to know all your business. Where are you from? Where are you going?
Right?
Who's you from? Who do you?
Who are you?
Who are you?
Don't recognize you. Nothing. As soon as you walk in, they know. You don't walk like a Newfoundlander. They know there's something up. That, and they'll always get the last word. So just let them have it. Yeah. So
Newfoundlanders are nosy. We like to know people.
The only thing I'll add to what Rhonda said is right now there's no flights, but as COVID goes away, you can fly into Deer Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And Deer Lake is only, it's just 4.5 hours away.
That is true.
Right now it's shut down, but it will open up.
I mean, there's actually an airport about 35 minutes outside of St. Anthony, which is the town, the
I mean, we're in St. Lanier Gricket, which is a tiny little community, but St. Anthony would be the nearest, what you would call a town, minutes. I suppose. It actually has like a mall and the Tim Hortons.
It's got a Tim's.
It's about 20 minutes away from where we're located. Like where we're located in that community. I mean, there is local restaurants and even little pubs out in there. But St. Anthony is where Tim's is, the mall is. So that's about a 20-minute drive. What was I saying? But the airport is about 35 minutes from there. But it'd probably be really expensive to fly right into St. Anthony, right?
Yeah. That feels like a chartered flight.
It's PAL Airlines, provincial airlines, and they just operate the little fart hoppers. And
been on them. That's
I think that they charge anywhere usually around $1,000 return out of Halifax or something. Yeah. So they're not cheap.
Yeah, I've been on one of them. I was thrown off because I'm used to the bigger plane. So when the pilot sat in his chair and then leaned back, I went, "My name's Jim." You need anything taller.
Yeah. Safety demonstration. Put your seatbelt on.
Basically, I don't even think there was a seatbelt light. I think it's just like everything revved up and he just leaned back. It was just
Gander too, which is we have Gander, St. John's, here, like those are the three major airports in the land.
Yeah, so there's plenty of ways to get there. Alexander Cameron's asking the real questions here, and I didn't think to ask this, but when you open. When you open, the first customers, the first players, will there be a Jigs dinner?
Well, I can tell you, I can certainly cook a Jigs dinner. I've cooked many a good Jigs dinner in my day. So that's not the issue. I can certainly cook them. Right?
We'll say possibility.
The only thing with the Jigs dinner is it's going to absolutely have to be after everyone plays because nobody will be able to put on the pants.
Oh, no.
Nobody will have paintball pants on
after. You tell everybody there, who is it? Who's asking you that question?
Alexander.
Okay, you tell Alexander. If he wants a Jigs dinner, I'll cook it a Jigs dinner.
Well, you just told him. He's listening.
Oh, okay. Alexander, I'll cook him a Jigs dinner if he wants a Jigs dinner.
Tyler Kerfoot wants to know, is there going to be any outdoor or is it all going to be exclusively indoor?
Great question. Originally we were going outdoor.
That's interesting.
There's an island, Fourier's Island, right by the school that we've now purchased. Then the school came up at an unbelievable deal. So we went that route. Mm. Now, we're focused on getting the indoor operation up and running. Mm-hmm. However, we do want to, at least by next year, have an outdoor option. So, because personally, I like woods ball. It's a lot of fun. So we do want to.
But don't forget the most important part of that. We're working with the town to let us use that little island. The little island is just off the shore. So literally what you would have to do is you'd have to take a boat. So you get on, you hop in a little boat, and it's just right across, just like, you know, 3 minutes across to a little island. And that's where the paintball would be, the outdoor paintball. And Four Ears Island.
So what I'm hearing is that we have to storm the beaches.
Yes! The
or at least the rock.
Right. Anyways, storm the beach.
Probably only open that up by, you know, special bookings and stuff. But what's cool about the island is there's a church, an old church on it, which is shut down, and a graveyard. We can't find paintballs at that. But it's a pretty big island with forest, open, rock, beaches.
Yeah.
It's...
That was what really we wanted to do originally. Hey, Paul, first when we came up with this idea, go back to your very first question, we were just trying to get that island. We were talking to the town and we were like, we would love to be able to do paintball on this island. Do you think the town, because it's Crown land, but do you think the town would let us just go out there and create like a big paintball? They said, no, we can't do that because apparently it's grazing land. And even though there's been no animals grazing on it for probably 20 years, but it's still designated as grazing land. So they wouldn't let us go out there and like create an obstacle course. But would they let us just flick out there on a weekend on a Saturday if we just do it in its natural environment, you know, not go out and create, just do it like just on the island, right? Yeah. Itself. For like just a day trip, like on the weekend, take people out there in the morning, you know, set up barbecue, do some paintball, cook a few burgers, have a few beers, spend the day out there on the island playing paintball. Yeah, the town would let us do that. So we're looking at that probably for next, I would say that'll be next summer or before we get that. Next summer. Oh, yeah.
That right alone makes, I'm hoping we get posted to Gander. Yeah.
Well, if she's joining the Air Force, she can get you flown up.
Yeah. Except all my luck, they'll put me on a Herc and I'll be sitting there doing this for 4 hours.
Just jump out the back with the parachute and you'll be fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely not.
You should not do that on camera unless people can see your entire body.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I can make the camera wiggle. I can just do that and then the whole camera just wiggles. I've heard horror stories from my father having to ride in the Hercs, and he's just like sitting on his little canvas chair. I
worked for 19 straight hours with 3 air-to-air refuels going down to the Falkland Islands. And I can tell you, at the end of that 19 hours, you need a case of beer. It's horrible. Right? It is. It's like that the whole way.
Yeah, your whole body just vibrates for hours.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to love the idea of the paintball island. Eli says hi, Paul.
Hi, Eli.
Eli
and I've been chatting away on Facebook.
Good. Eli's a good guy. He's good people.
Yep, he's been very helpful, actually.
Excellent.
I don't even know. Is it an hour long? Half an hour long?
About an hour long. How long do you think we've been?
Oh, no, I just see the time. I just wanted to make sure we didn't keep you like past your limit.
It's fine.
We're in overtime.
Okay. I want to. Okay, so answer me that. What is the? What was the spitball? What is that? You're gonna answer me that now.
Has anyone given you what they think it is?
Somebody said it was like blow darts. It's the only answer I got. These guys are terrible.
Not really. What it is, they're guns that look like airsoft. We're doing airsoft as well, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that earlier, but
we look down on airsoft.
Spitball, they look like airsoft guns, except there's a big toilet roll stuck on there. And on top of the gun, there's a little jar of water, container of water. And somehow it takes a little piece of the toilet paper, wets it, creates a little spitball. And of course, the idea is stick to the face of your opponents or whatever.
Sounds hilarious.
A lot of fun. That's just going to be straightforward. Let's be kids again, you know?
Absolutely. That is when you see the pros suddenly start giggling like idiots.
Like a bunch of guys with shaving cuts all over your face.
Right? Oh, God, they'll get in my beard and everything.
You'll be a great target.
Yeah. I'll just have to braid it. I'll braid the beard so then it'll be less of a target. Okay, that sounds awesome. I didn't know that existed. I have to go look that up now.
We didn't know either. Paul just happened upon accidentally. He's like, what kind of a gun is this? It's got a toilet paper roll on top of it. And then we figured it out. That's what it is. It creates a spitball. I thought, that'll be fun. Kids would love that. Even kids would love that, you know? So,
The kids, hell with the kids. Adults will love it.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
kids don't have money.
I want to put a bouncy castle into the gym for adults only.
Yes.
Can you imagine paintball on a bouncy castle?
It'd be perfect. We wouldn't have to worry about landing on kids.
And then no.
When we all end up crawling out of it with our backs hurting, we'll all.
Why should they have all the fun?
Exactly. Why should they get all the fun? So speaking of fun, and I have to ask this question because I'm surprised nobody's asked it yet in the comments, is first strike rounds are kind of a hot button topic for certain places.
Yep.
You going to let people use them?
Their own rounds?
Well, they could buy them from you, but.
Actually, it's an insurance thing. The insurance company specifies that no outside balls to be.
Oh no! I mean, like if you could, you start giggling.
She's in the gutter.
Because you can buy the first strike rounds from distributor and then sell them as a regular paintball round.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misinterpreted the question. Yes, we will carry a stock of the premium balls. you know. Okay. But Sherlock. Okay, so yeah, the answer is yes. We won't just, you know, obviously we'll have the standard, you know, run of the mill balls. But if we get people through with using their own equipment and they want the better ones, then well, I say big ball, better ball, ball bearing company. There you go.
What I'm referring to is.
Are you getting your ball?
That.
Oh, I'm actually not familiar with that.
So these little guys, this is fun. So these are fired out of mag fed markers, which mine is in like 7 pieces right now. But the idea is that when they come out, they spin. This one's cracked, but yeah, the fin spins them. So they actually spin and they whistle, which is fun. So with the First Strike rounds, they're made by First Strike, who makes the T15, which.
Let's see, do I have my... can you just make a note of that?
With our wrapper pen.
First.
Spike. Yes, show off the wrapper. Sorry, I'm not in frame at all. This is super unprofessional.
Yeah. Wrapper pen. A great expense.
Free for every 20th customer.
Well, while he's in his dungeon looking at stuff, or
yeah, he's left us here. Oh, he's
we're got in control now, I guess. But one thing,
that's smart, Brad, to leave us here on our own.
One thing we do want to do is listen to ideas, and if it's a good idea, we'll act on it.
Yeah, we're open. We're open to definitely ideas, suggestions. You know,
excellent.
Basically, tell us what you guys want, and we'll try our best to produce it.
Well, so where I'm at in New Brunswick, there is a large group of individuals that play with MagFed markers.
What are you calling them again?
MagFed, literally magazine fed.
MagFed. Okay.
He's using like short jargon because it sounds cooler.
Yeah.
This little guy. So everything goes in a magazine.
Yep.
First Strike goes in the mag.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're only fired out of certain markers, but these little things here, you fire them at the same speed, 280, 290, whatever.
They
right?
hurt.
But no, they don't hurt. They don't hurt any more than a regular paintball.
Okay.
But they fly further and more accurately because they spin like a regular bullet.
Okay, the trajectory.
So because of that, they don't slow down as quickly. So if you get hit at 100 feet, it kind of feels like you got hit by a paintball at, say, 75 feet.
Right.
So a lot of people think they hurt more because of that, but it's just because you can reach out and touch someone a little bit.
Yeah.
More accurately.
What are you calling those rounds?
First Strike rounds.
Oh, they're just First Strike rounds. Okay.
Yeah.
They're made. I'm looking into that.
Yeah,
and where
are you talking the language of like pro paintballers now? Is there a reason we don't know this? Is it like, is the pros know this stuff?
No, no. This is a suit. Well, it's kind of niche. It's a bit niche.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the first I've heard of that. I'm going to look into it.
Reach out to DEFCON Paintball.
DEFCON. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to Garner. He's your guy. He'll help you out. But yeah, these things are hella fun.
Mm.
Okay, sounds good. We'll check it out.
Excellent. There we go. There we go, folks. We're going to get... Because I'm thinking indoors with one of these, it would fly so straight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, deadly.
Yeah. So, and they're perfectly safe. I've been hit by them plenty of times.
Yeah.
Cool. That was... There, we had an educational moment. That was
we appreciate it. And you guys have learned about Spitball, and we've learned about First Strike. Yeah. So there you go.
You knew everything there was to know about paintball.
So did I.
What a
letdown.
So I'm just checking through the comments here. Get air ups to make it so you'll stand up to the paintballs. Oh, get air ups to make the bouncy castle. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I bet you he could. He'd probably find a way.
I'd like to fill a complete classroom with like trampolines or bouncy castle or something. That'd be just great.
You're going to have a whole school to use. It's going to be wild.
Oh, a whole school.
Yeah.
Zach Joseph in the chat, he's pumped. Indoors, plus first strikes and Viking music. Everything is awesome.
Oh, he's got some great Viking music.
I've spent hours and hours and hours because, you know, we're purchasing sound effects and background music. So we have the copyright. So we can use it, but I gotta tell you, the Viking stuff that I'm putting together is the best. It's got those drums and just get the heart pumping, you know. And
yeah,
we're just sad that a person can't operate a paintball gun and hold a shield at the same time, because you know Vikings are all about
hold
shield
on.
Up.
Got something for that.
We want a scenario that way they can do that, you know, shields up, but it's kind of hard to deal with a paintball gun. Can you tell we just finished watching the entire series on Vikings?
So you could absolutely run a shield. I know plenty of people who run shields, and I'm just thinking like that's just the perfect time to bust out the paintball pistols is what it is.
Well, that, ultimately.
Did we decide on the pistols after? We were talking about that.
Yeah, no, we were talking about having pistols as an option because that certainly would help. And I even thought about bow and arrow.
The air bow.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, which would be cool. Make it more. We'll do it the way we got it at the minute, and you know we've got to get our feet wet and see what's more popular and adjust accordingly.
The thing is, there's just constantly coming up with different ideas, right? And people are always. I get one person said to me the other day, "What about axe throwing?" And it's just like, there's just so many things.
I mean, axe throwing's great. it's a ton of fun, but it's
Corner Brook does it though, so we don't really want to impede on. I mean, they kind of got the market here for axe throwing, so we'll let them
let them have it. Also, I didn't when they opened one up here in Fredericton, I didn't realize how much wood they go through.
Because
that wood is just constantly getting splintered.
Yeah, wood.
Yeah.
So they're just constantly going through it. Also, those axes aren't cheap.
We are going to offer Newfie darts, by the way. You hold the three darts in your one hand and someone else throws the board at you.
Whatever. Newfies are awesome dart players.
That's great. That's awesome. We played a ton of darts when I was in Labrador.
Yeah, it's pretty much a sport in Newfoundland. Darts.
Everybody everyone is excited for the Viking stuff. I'm just Nerf makes axes, right? Can we get like some Nerf throwing axes? Is that a thing? Can we make them out of foam?
It's better with real axes.
Nerf is just going to be for the little kiddies. We're going to have a little obstacle course upstairs in a room for like kids' birthday parties. They want to come in and just bring your Nerf gun and we'll just charge them for like to book the party room for an hour, and then they can go in there and have at it, play some Nerf, run around for an hour in that space, shoot off your Nerf.
Zach is wondering in addition to the Jigs dinner, he's asking about Newfie steak. If there
is
will
this
be
the same guy?
Yeah, the same guy.
No, this is a different guy.
I was gonna say, Alexander, you're pushing it. Okay. Oh, this is someone named Zach now.
Yeah,
and he wants one. You mean bologna. He's talking about bologna. Yeah, he wants some bologna. Yeah. Right. Maple leaf is, you know. We can buy it by the... Paul isn't like...
You can buy it by the log.
You can.
It's good for throwing axes at.
No, you have to buy it by the log because it's so freaking expensive. You know how much maple leaf bologna costs? Like a little
That and the pre-cut stuff. The pre-cut stuff's as thin as a credit card anyways. It's no good.
Oh, we don't pre-cut in Newfoundland. Bologna you cut off in big thick slabs like that, not sandwich width. You
gotta have some chew to it.
Yeah.
this you're gonna open a deli at the paintball field. It's gonna be great.
Oh my god.
Oh, I might make a homemade pot of soup. Might have some soup available. Might have a pot of homemade moose soup.
Caribou soup. Don't tease.
We're not going to be doing it. There's a local volunteer group that asked us, so they're going to do it as a bit of a fundraiser for them. But there will be like a sandwich, soup and sandwich type canteen.
Kind of thing in there. Oh, I tell you, right now, if you had them come to one of the days, let's say you plan an event, let's say like the Viking thing, we're gonna do a Viking scenario day, it's gonna be Viking music, and then they show up with like selling soup and sandwiches for charity, for like a volunteer group, that like every paintballer right then and there, they're just gonna be like, I brought my lunch, but I'm gonna go buy soup and sandwich.
It's all for a good cause, and we're all about that. We're both members of Lions Clubs International, actually, very active members, so we believe in giving back to the community.
Absolutely. Zach is now on my shit list though, because he said Newfie steak, Jig's dinner, and alpine beer, right?
Well, why not Screech?
They can't handle Screech.
You know how many people I've met and they're like, I've been to Newfoundland. I'm like, oh, did you get Screeched in? They're like, no, I can't handle Screech. I'm like, come on now.
Swim.
It's not that bad. It could be worse. It somehow. I'm sure, but it's not that bad. Yeah. But the number of people who don't get Screeched in properly.
Yeah,
I've screeched in lots of people. I know how to screech in. I was a member. Well, I lived in the territories for 10 years too. But like I was away. Like I'm from here, but I was gone for like 25 years.
You went to the other side of Canada?
Seriously, I was living in Inuvik in the Northwest Territories for 10 freaking years, right up above the Arctic Circle. I spent up there 10 years up there. So but I had a really good group of Newfoundland friends, and we used to organize annual Newfie nights. And we'd screech people in, and we'd auction off like one can of Newfie beer to some drunk guy who would pay $500 for it because it was so loaded. You know, we used to raise money for the Janeway Hospital, actually, here in Newfoundland.
Oh, there we go.
Great bit of fun.
This is like slowly turning into educating people about Newfoundland. Christopher Struck can't be as bad as moonshine. Yes, it can. It can be bad. It can be worse. I've seen moonshine brewed with like heart and love, and then Screech is just, how cheap can we make it?
Yeah, a little rough around the edges.
A little bit. Keeps you warm at night though. So my God, I can't wait. I don't know how or when I will get to Newfoundland, but I cannot wait to get to your field. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to kick the front door in like I own the place. And
go for it.
Well, we can't wait to get in there and get working on it and get it set up. We're really excited to get going with it as well.
And we want to work with paintballers coming in, you know, from afar. If there's a group coming up from, you know, wherever, we want to be a little flexible, you know, like I remember when I first got into paintball years ago, one of the most memorable games I ever had was when there was just four of us. It was at Sergeant Splatters in Toronto, 50,000 square feet, big one. And there were just four of us there. And, you know, there was no time limit. And the referee said, you know, you guys can just shoot out each other, you know, do whatever. Yeah. There were times when it was like 10, 15 minutes, not a single shot was fired. And I tell you what, that was more exciting than just going for it.
What are you doing?
Because... no, you don't know where each other are, and you were sneaking around, and your heart was pumping, and I've never forgotten that. And we'd like to do some stuff like that, you know, with groups that are coming up.
Turn the lights out.
Turn the lights out, exactly, and just go for it, yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing. So there's the last time something like that was done, in the East Coast anyways, is actually in Nova Scotia a couple years back. I almost quit my job to go to it, but I decided not to. There is an old Cold War bunker that they opened up for a paintball game.
Oh, nice.
And I guess it made such a mess, they never did it again. Because nobody stuck around to help clean up. So the owner of the facility is just like, yeah, I'm never doing this again. But the idea of like dark hallways, maybe you've got like the emergency lighting on and that's it. And then you got the music and people like sneaking around the building, because that's what you got to do, right? They can hear you running on the tile, so you got to sneak and you got to be quiet, and all the classrooms and stuff. And it's gonna be amazing.
Here's how we're gonna arrange it, because the basement is a high ceiling. It was hand dug, apparently. I can't imagine how long that took them, but it's 10 feet ceiling. It's not finished at all. The floor is like crushed rock, which makes it more Dungeons and Dragons type. It's got these huge, wide concrete pillars everywhere, like, you know, every 15, 20 feet. And there's all sorts of nooks and crannies and angles and stuff. But some of the things that we're both pretty creative, and some of the things we're going to implement is like a crystal forest, if you like, which would be like clear see-through shower curtains hanging like a forest, and you got to wind your way through them.
You'll give away all of our secrets.
For some strange lighting, which is currently on order from China, so hopefully it comes this year.
Yeah, it's literally on the slow boat from China.
Do you think though, Brad, because you play a lot of paintball, do you think people like real hardcore paintballers, do they like that kind of stuff? Like, or is that distracting to them? Like when you got things like, you know, like I don't know, like strobe light effects or glue, you know, or like galaxy, you know, one area, one corner where everything is like looks like you're walking into like a galaxy, you know, like lighting your stars and that kind of stuff. Or do they just say, no, we don't want all that crap. We just want to like shoot each other up.
I think I'm gonna go with my opinion on this. I think as long as it's done right, where I think you might get, like, if you hear complaints about fields doing some like weird stuff and people not liking it, is usually because it is either half-assed, or they charge, let's say, $10 to get on the field on a regular day, but now I put up, you know, I put lights in the trees, so now it's $45 to get in.
Oh, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Because you said you play a lot of woods ball, so you've been to some scenarios like where they have full storylines. A lot of fields, especially in Canada, I found for a little while, were doing every weekend was a scenario, and it just was very half-baked. It was more or less just like, this flag here has a name instead of like putting actual like theatrics into it. So if you just had a weird and funky field, I think they'd enjoy it. But you know,
that's what we want to do some different things, but do it properly. I'm going to do a quick shout out for, I can't remember the name of it now, but in PEI, the paintball field out there with the World War One tunnels, trenches.
That's Crossfire.
Yeah, one of my favorites. Love it.
Yeah, amazing field. The owner of that too, the name is forgetting, is slipping past me now, but amazing guy. We actually host, I didn't host it, I played in it, was a tournament that used only the magazine fed markers. It was a tournament that was only those, and we used his field, and it was 3-on-3, and it was nuts. It was intense.
Because
you don't know that they're in those trenches, and you can sneak up on each other.
It's
by
terrible.
Accident,
yeah.
Right?
I know.
So it's nuts. The people in the comments are saying more atmosphere, more fun. Anything like epic lighting is always a good time. So I think I say do it.
Well,
I wouldn't be so distracted that it distracts from people's
games. No. That'd be fine. It's just
so many corners and crannies. So one little corner might be lit up in a special way, right? If you're in there.
Sure.
And it helps with the scenarios, right? Yeah. Like
The one scenario. The one scenario that we're doing is the Viking scenario. Well, actually have something that I'd never seen before in any field. But Vikings were known for plumaging or pilfering.
Pillaging.
Pillaging, that's the word.
Raiding and pillaging.
Raiding and pillaging. So that's basically what the scenario is. And there's literally going to be 10 little chests that you get from the dollar store, you know, those kind of things. Hidden around in plain view, but hidden around the whole arena. And it'll basically be individual, non-team. But if they want to make an alliance, that's good. But on their own head, be it, because Vikings were renowned for breaking alliances. And when they find a chest, they bring it back to the safe area, the safe zone. And inside there'll be a little card that might get 50 paintballs free, 25, just a gesture, you know, so there's actual stuff they can win.
That's fun. I like that. That's really cool. I think that's a great idea.
Scenarios are all still in development, but that's just one example.
That's just one example. Yeah.
We got to make the Viking stuff really kick ass.
Yeah.
There's an expectation.
Oh, it's going to be.
Brad is really excited about the Viking stuff.
It is going to be kick ass, I can promise you.
There's going to be beads in my beard.
I'm going to braid my hair.
Do it. I'll bring the bear skin.
Do you have a mask? What the Viking?
I could get that. That's fine. That's easy. Yeah. No problem. this feel is going to be amazing. I'm very, very excited. I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on it. When ballpark, do you guys have any idea when you think you might be opening? Or are you just going to wait for COVID to go away?
No, we're hoping by May.
We're hoping to be open in May. Mm-hmm.
That's what we're aiming for. A lot of work to do.
And yeah. even if we're not ready in May to do like a grand opening, we'll at least do some.
The paintball will be ready.
Well, at least we'll have some people in to do some pre-trial stuff and do some testing for us. We need some stuff to put on the website too. We need some live video for our website.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We might do that. And then eventually, but we also got to have our splat party because we're going to paint the outside of the building. Because right now, it's just, if you see on the Facebook page, I mean, it's just
it looks like a school built in the 80s.
Exactly.
So we're
going to paint the school black with some red
highlights.
The part that's brown on it now will be red, and the part that's yellow will be black. And we're going to put some cool actual splats. But then we're going to invite, I think what we're going to do is going to have invite community to come out for a splat day. So everybody can just take either a gun and do one shot and splat on the building, or even if it's a paintbrush flick. But we want the building to look like a bunch of paint splats.
Yeah.
That's what we want it to look like, the finished product.
It'll stand out.
So we're going to have have a paint party day, fire up the barbecue and have a splat day, to decorate the building.
The local community have no idea what's coming.
Yeah, they don't even know.
Just wait till you have like a big, big event, and then suddenly there's paintballers from all over the world just like converging on this small town in Newfoundland.
Wouldn't that be an honor to say you were one of the people that, you know, like the first splat on the building? You splatted our building, right? You're like, you know what I mean? A founding splatter of Rapa.
It sounds like it could become a cornerstone of the community. Like if it's
going to
be
we have a lot of support community. Now, I haven't even mentioned this to Rhonda, but in the back of my head, because we kind of have a lot of control in the community already. You know, they love us.
We don't have control. That doesn't sound good. Doesn't we have control?
Well, the mayor told me whatever we want.
Somebody was watching this to be like, what do they think they're on? They're controllable.
So, but what I'd like is down the road, you know, in Toronto, they have the moose, you know, full-size moose around the city, painted different designs, and they're all sponsored. Yep. I'd love to see something like that up here, except polar bear, but with paint spots on.
Yeah, do that.
That's a good idea.
Christopher Strunk is asking in the comments, we've already answered this, but I just, you know, I want him to be 100%. He's asking, will there be camping available?
We are now in the summer. We don't actually know how wet or dry we've got 4 acres of land, so there's plenty of land, but we don't know if it's suitable for camping. However, for those coming in from afar, we will be offering what we're calling indoor camping, you know, basically a blow up bed, bring your own sleeping bag, and we'll just have a room somewhere, and get them kipped down.
Even bunk beds. But like Paul said, we do have some land in the front of the building, like an area out front. It looks like a grassy area where tents could possibly go, but we don't know yet till we get in there, till summer comes. Is it all bog? Because Newfoundland's got a lot of bog.
Yeah.
If it's dry and appropriate, people could pinch tents there, no problem. Yeah. But I'm going to see what the ground's going to look like.
In West St. Modest, if you tried to camp, it's nothing but rock. As soon as you move the moss, it's just rock. You're not getting a tent pole in anywhere.
We're just one big rock.
Yeah, rock and
So hopefully it turns out to be at least mostly dry. Are there any motels nearby to support a big event? So there's motels. There's lots of
accommodation, simply because we're in Newfoundland's second biggest tourist spot outside of St. John's. It's right here. So there's lots of hotels. You know, from what I can see, there's Airbnbs ranging from 120 a night, and the hotels are 150. 200 a night, you know. But that's why we want to offer something very, you know, extremely affordable, you know, like, you know, 10 bucks a head or something, you know, there's your blow up bed.
Yeah, and that's honestly, that's what most of us would do with an Airbnb anyways. You're looking
at an
Airbnb.
We sit around, have a beer, hear the stories from the day's events, you know, and the exaggerations and stuff.
Exactly. None of it's true. None of the stories are true. And we all know it's not true. It's just who can one up each other until it becomes obvious. That's the trick.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah. Francis is saying, don't smush the cloudberries.
I call them cloudberries in Labrador. We call them big apples in Newfoundland. Big apple. What you would call a cloudberry? Yeah, we call it big
cloudberries.
Apple. Yeah.
Mm. Cloudberries, or it's depending on who you're talking to, it's cloud. It might be a baked apple, but yeah, it's cloudberries.
It's actually the dark tickle is located right here in St. Lanier Griquet. I mean, they're known all over the. They have really good food in there. They're right in in the community of St. Lanier. They do like all these like, what do you even call it? Like homemade teas, like made right out of like partridge berries and cranberries and baked apples.
Yeah, it's
teas.
Really good.
Really nice, fancy herb teas like that. And even like partridge berry ice cream cone, the homemade partridge berry ice cream cone. And,
oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, and they have nice food in there. If you want to go and sit and have a nice meal, sometimes they have somebody in there, a little bit of entertainment, like singing or something in the corner.
So it's not, so folks traveling, if anybody, because I know sometimes people look at it and they're like, man, is it worth to pay that much money just to go play paintball? But really, if you book a whole weekend, there's more than just paintball. If you're lucky, because I know a ton of people, I know so many people who've gone to Newfoundland and Labrador just to try and see whales.
Yeah.
That's
guaranteed whales in the whale season. Absolutely guaranteed. And we've seen dozens and dozens of them.
And you're by Iceberg Alley too, right?
Iceberg Alley is right here.
Iceberg Alley is right here. Best time to see whales generally is like May, June month, because that's when the capelin are rolling and the whales follow the capelin in. June, especially, great month for whale watching. Yep. They follow the capelin and the whales chase the capelin. See, that's when the capelin come in to spawn, usually in June, and the whales will follow in the capelin, feed off them. So that's the best time. But you will see whales, but June particularly is a great month for whale watching.
There we go.
We're waiting for the polar bears in the spring. That's everyone around here says.
You're waiting for
them. You know, they get a 6 or 7 polar bears every spring coming right in the community. So, we'll see.
That's mildly terrifying.
He finds that exciting for some reason.
Oh,
no.
Just don't piss it off by shooting it with a paintball marker.
I'm willing to bet money it wouldn't even feel a paintball. Like, it would wouldn't even register.
No.
That's wild, though. Polar bears, that's the one thing is just like, I'll draw the line there. I'll go out in a tiny boat and go chase whales all day. Yeah. But I'm going to draw the line at polar bears.
Polar bear.
They're faster than me.
Our neighbor, where we were
staying
before, said he got up to go to work in the morning and there's a polar bear in his kitchen. It had broken through the door. It was in his kitchen.
That's now the polar bear's kitchen. And your friend is now renting from the polar bear. That's how that works.
I don't think that's an everyday occurrence. That was very isolated.
Yeah. So no one's been eaten up here by polar bears that we can.
Oh, that's good. Discover. That's good. Oh my God. Okay. So it's been a little over an hour. I think we'll wrap it up.
I know where you're going.
And it's fine. There's no real set time.
If anyone wants any more information, you can do info at rappanl, that's rappanl.ca.
Easy. So, if you got questions, reach out. Oh, the stories are starting to come in now about animals in the backyard and in the house.
Is anything topping the polar bear story?
No, this is a 3 moose in my backyard, 10 feet from me. Three moose.
We wouldn't even mention that. We see moose on a regular basis. Winter alone, that was at least 4 occasions when moose just came right from the driveway, just moseying along and onto the road, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're not in your community. You just happen to live in theirs.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how that works.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that is a very good point.
When you're 11 feet tall at the shoulder,
I haven't seen moose like that my whole life growing up in Newfoundland, but Paul still gets really excited every time the moose comes around the road.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He just gets so excited.
So here in New Brunswick, we got moose, right?
Yeah.
And there was a group, I seen a band, and they come from Ontario. And I guess they don't get a lot of moose in Ontario, or at least maybe they're from Toronto. No,
very rare.
Something like that. Yeah. And so we were chatting with them, and they were just, he's like, I got a question, but I don't want to sound stupid. I'm like, okay. He goes, when we came to New Brunswick, we saw this big yellow sign and it showed a moose and a crushed car, but the moose was just standing. He's like, does that happen? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
They're big. And if your car's not big enough, they're walking away.
Well, do you know about the story that went viral in Newfoundland a few years ago on the news? This, you know, the warning signs they put up for moose, right? Moose
Areas. Yeah.
A woman called into like open line one time here in Newfoundland. She was all upset and pissed off because she said, I don't know why the government puts them moose signs right in the high traffic areas, like right in the middle, like where you're. Why don't you put them off somewhere like out of the way so they're not like stopping traffic, or put them like beside children's crosswalks at school, because then it'll serve a dual purpose with the crosswalk for the kids. Moose can use the same crosswalk. Why do you put them in places, you know, when there's she was actually serious. Yeah. She thought that moose knew that meant that's where you're supposed to cross the road. Yeah.
And then that's what perpetuates the dumb newfie, the dumb newfie
guy. That's it.
When they do that on the air. So the field's opening in May.
Yes.
You guys have Facebook, it's Rappa, RAPPANL. So if anyone wants to follow along, follow them there. Like you said, if you have any questions, the email was, what was it? Info at
RAPPANL.ca.
There we go.
Nobody's allowed to call me a dumb newfie. Brad.
I've seen what an angry Newfoundlander can do.
Maybe we'll introduce some dueling in the field.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll show you what newbies are made of.
There we go.
Think about that. Newbies are born with a gun in their hand, okay? So it's not much of a transition over from bullets to paintball.
Born with a gun in their hand. It's like Texas of... No, I guess Alberta's Texas. All right. So thanks so much for coming on the show. It was an absolute blast. This is definitely going to go down as one of the more memorable shows. I'm sure people will be cracking some jokes for the time to come. So that's it. We're out of here. For everyone who stuck around commenting and sharing and chatting with us, thank you so much. It was an absolute blast. And I don't know. What we're doing next week.
And remember, if you're going to drink and shoot, don't forget your gun.
What? Okay. Good night. That's advice to take to heart.
Oh, Paul.
All right. So that's it. We're out of here. And I don't know if I have any guests lined up for next week. So if you guys have any suggestions, let me know. And,
well, they're probably going to want us back by popular demand.
Probably.
Just saying.
And we'll try and figure out there's a lot of people talking about road tripping. I am not road tripping. That is a long ass drive. I have done that drive. It is 2 days.
Oh, it's so beautiful. I love road trips.
It's great.
That's the best way to come up here. If you're going to come up here, you got to drive it. You got to drive the Northern Peninsula.
I have to take like 2 weeks off of work.
It's a vacation, right? And the best part is, as soon as, they lift all the travel restrictions, but we virtually have no COVID in Newfoundland, and we never have.
Yeah. No, it's because as soon as you did, you just stopped the ferry.
We just stopped everything. Boom.
Because we're smart, actually.
We tried, and then the northern part of New Brunswick fucked it all up for us. So
yeah,
that's right.
It's the F word. It's the F word.
It deserved it. So that's it.
He's over his time.
Christopher Struck, it's like a 72-hour drive. Yes, it is.
From where?
Christopher Struck, where is he? He's in like Saskatchewan.
But you know,
it's about from Saskatchewan 5 days.
I suggest he flies.
At the very least, fly into Halifax and then drive
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, you just have to drive the island. I don't care. Yeah, fly to get to the island, but once you're on the island, you got to drive.
All right, fly to St. John's.
Definitely got to drive up at North Adventure. Yeah. You have to anyway.
There's no other way. Yeah, exactly. So that's it, Ryder. Yeah, and I feel like I have something like to end the show with, but I really don't. So thanks again for coming on.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
I will once things are open and running, I'll have you guys back on and we'll talk about what's happening. So
sounds good.
Okay. Thank you all.
Bye.
And we'll see you all on the other side.